Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I would say with comedy, it's just, it's easier because I think I'm a lighthearted guy who likes comedy and kind of can take something and analyze it. And I think I have good like text analysis skills where like I can read the script and kind of know what the writer's going for and be able to say it in a funny way.
Welcome to 94 and More, a podcast presented by Bristol Studio. I'm Jake Fenster, and today I'm joined by Sam Lerner. Sam, thanks for joining the show.
Happy to be here.
We were just speaking offline about it a little bit, but what have the last 14 months been like for you? It's been crazy for everybody, but you know, take us through what day has been like for you and all the challenges you've faced.
Dude, I mean, so the beginning of the quarantine was definitely like an adjustment period, you know, but it was kind of, I feel like it was kind of fun in certain ways because it was like, you're stuck inside, like, you know, you get to watch all the shows that you haven't seen and I don't know, it kind of felt like just looking on the bright side, it felt like a nice little change to really like take pride in where you live and make it nice and make it a place that you want to spend your whole day. And you know, so it was a little, it was fun at first. And then I think I got a little antsy towards the summer. Obviously everyone did. But then I went back to work. Our show was picked up and they knew that we were going to be filming during the pandemic. So we shot 22 episodes of the Goldbergs season 8 in the pandemic. So that was crazy. Like the adjustment of being tested like 5 days a week and like feeling like I can't really have a social life outside the show just because I didn't want to risk, you know, getting COVID and then shutting the show down. But I mean, dude, it was like a really great year for me in a lot of ways. You know, like I bought my first house and I was able to, you know, work and do what I love. And, you know, and no one really, really close to me was sick or you know, got really, really sick or passed away or anything. So I feel that's like amazing. I kind of made out in a good way.
Yeah. Well, so were you shooting when the pandemic, you know, first happened and everything shut down? Were you on set already?
Yeah, we were. So we were shooting our season finale, actually season 7, because that was, we usually wrap at the end of March. And then March was when it was when it hit. So yeah. And leading up to that, I was in China, Milan, New York, and Las Vegas, all from December 2019 to March 2020. Jesus. So everyone likes to make the joke that I'm the one who brought COVID everywhere. Because I would go somewhere, I would start breaking out, and then I would have to leave that place.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because we were also on the road a lot from about the same time, like from end of December. You know, we were in Paris in January, New York in February, then Chicago in February, and then Portland in March, like right, literally the weekend before everything shut down. So we were just kind of astonished that everything happened the way it did. We definitely didn't see it coming, and we were like really prepared for more travel and more chaos and everything. But what was that like for you? What happened? You know, do you remember how you found out that the show was the production was being shut down and being filmed at once?
Well, I was really stressed because like I said, I had been in Milan. This was like end of February. I had gone to Milan because Olivia, my girlfriend, was doing like a fashion week thing there for Ferragamo. And so she brought me as a plus one, and I had to get permission from the show to even go because I was shooting like the week after we got back. And this was like before COVID was really a big thing. Like people knew about it, but it wasn't like, oh, it's in America and it's breaking out. It was in that like in between phase. So I asked them if I could go, and they were like, yeah, of course, have fun. Just, you know, be safe, come back and you'll go to work. So I come back and then I get a call from like our main producer saying, hey, Sam, I'm so sorry, but because you were in Milan and COVID just broke out there,
yeah,
I unfortunately can't have you on the set. So they wrote me out of an episode, which was like kind of a bummer. Yeah, this was like the second to last episode. And then the next one was our finale. So I couldn't even like finish out the season. So that was definitely pretty crazy and weird. And I felt like I was being like fired or targeted for having traveled, but you know, it was the safe thing to do.
And then, so then after that happened, you guys finished the season and you take a break, right? Usually how long is that break?
Yeah. So most years it's the hiatus. We usually wrap like the end of March. And then if the show gets picked up, we don't usually find out until May. So right now I'm actually in that in-between phase where I think the show's going to get picked up, but they don't tell us anything really until the network starts deciding what shows they're canceling or picking up, which usually happens around May. And then we usually come back like end of July, early August. So, you know, if it works,
yeah.
Now I'm waiting, but you know, it's, I have my first shot of the vaccine. And so now it's, you know, just being safe until I can get fully vaccinated and then try to, you know, see if maybe the world gets back to normal and I can enjoy the summer and hopefully go back to work.
So since you're on the Goldbergs and you've been on there since 2013, which is a long time to be on one show, and it kind of becomes, I imagine, part of your identity. It takes over your life in probably a pretty big way. Like you're saying, when you wanted to go to Milan with your girlfriend, you had to get permission to do so. What is it like, you know, being attached to ABC, a major studio, and a part of that show, while also kind of navigating your life and maybe pursuing other opportunities in acting or other industries? What's that like for you?
Dude, that's a really good question. It's so interesting because I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like a network like that has so much going on. That's like, I like to think that they don't even know who I am because I'm just like a random cast member on one of their shows, but it's cool. I mean, it definitely is overall like the biggest blessing because it's being on a show like that that's consistent is just really lucky. A show that does 22 episodes a year is very rare, especially now that we're in like the streaming age, because you know, most of the shows that I even watch are like on HBO Max or on Netflix or on Amazon Prime, and like those are maybe 8 to 10 episodes usually. So you know, it's nice to be on like one of the last sort of sitcoms that seems to be like a formula that might be dying out. I hope they don't, because I grew up watching sitcoms and have always loved them. And so being on one has been really special, but I would say like the only downside to it is that it takes up a lot of the year. So like, it would be nice to work on other things, but really the only availability that I have is like April to August. So, you know, sometimes I can like fit a movie in or try to do something else. But for the most part, it's like, it keeps us pretty booked up, which is a good thing. So it's like, it's mostly a good thing. Cause you know, the alternative is that I don't have the job and then I'm always
totally
free. And you know, it could lead to something else, but for now I've kind of just decided that it seems like something that I want to just ride out until it's over and have been a part of something that's so special and something that was successful. Cause as an actor, you get told no all the time. Like most auditions I go on, they're like, no, he was good, but no, not the right fit. Like it's just stuff like that. So being on something that actually works and that's something that where they want to write for me is like a blessing and something that I would never want to get rid of.
So how have you built up that ability to go on these auditions, put yourself out there and then just get rejected and then do it again and do it again and do it again? With, you know, you never know, right? Anytime you walk in a room, it's not guaranteed. Where do you think that comes from for you, that you have that resolve and ability to like just get rejected and bounce back?
Dude, I really don't know. I mean, it's definitely the worst part of the profession. I mean, it's me and my friends that are actors, like we all kind of bond over it, that we're just like, I'll audition for like any movie and that dude, Nat Wolff, will get the role. Like he's like an actor who's like, he's in like a lot of indie films and also studio films. But like, I don't know. It's just, there's so many times that you build yourself up and you're like, you start to picture yourself having the role and then like you don't get it. So I don't know. I think you just get used to being rejected, you know, and like any industry, you know, when you apply for a job and you don't get chosen, if you want that job, I mean, it's similar to that, but it's like, for us, it's because it's all like, we get so excited and we maybe put a lot of work into a character and then it just doesn't go your way. My dad is an actor, so I grew up watching him kind of go through it and be rejected a lot and then get some roles and then be rejected. And so I've kind of grown up around the business, I'd say, but I mean, the getting rejected never really gets easier. You just kind of learn that, like, you know, it wasn't meant to be, and you have to kind of have that attitude where it's like, your time will come and each no will lead to a yes eventually. Yeah. So, you know, it's hard, but then when I get a show like The Goldbergs, where I've now done 125 episodes, it's like, okay, all the no's led me here. And now it's like, you know, I get to finally be happy with that. So.
Yeah. And I think I want to follow up on that. You said your dad is in the industry. He's an actor, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did he like try to stop you at any point from becoming an actor? What was that conversation like with him when you told him you wanted to follow in his footsteps? Just kind of take us through that.
Yeah. I mean, my parents were really, they were really cool about it. Cause I started as a kid, like I was a child actor. And so I used to get, they would have to drive me to auditions all the time and drop me off and then pick me up and go over my lines with me and stuff, which might have been annoying to them, but like I think it was the type of thing where it's like, okay, well, if he can do it and pay for college, then that sounds great. Cut to all these years later, I didn't even go to college because I was working, which is great. But I think they just, I was like a fun, I was a kid who liked attention and was like a class clown, and maybe they realized that I didn't really have any other skills, so acting was the only thing that I could really do, and I'm barely even good at that.
But I'm sure you have other skills. I'm sure you have other skills.
Some other
don't
skills.
Don't be so hard. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Maybe a few, but they, I think they were just, you know, my mom was the one that was really made it important for me to have a normal childhood. Like I went to public school for all of my childhood through high school, graduated high school when a lot of my friends had like been child actors. So they left school so that they could 100% focus on acting. But for me, it was my mom thought it was really important to be a normal kid. So like I would have like an audition on a Wednesday afternoon and I would say, no, mom, I want to go skateboarding with my friends. And they'd be like, okay, we'll tell your manager that you don't want to go because you're skateboarding with your friends. And my manager would be like, what the hell? Like it's audition. But it was important to my mom to let me not miss out on those experiences just in, you know, in case that was like a special time for me and an audition wasn't as important. So
it sounds like your mom also kind of put the ball in your court. You know, if you wanted to walk away from it or go mess around, it was like, you're going to tell your manager, I'm not going to do that for you. You know, I'm not going to make it easier for you to avoid your responsibilities or the things that you know, you said you wanted to be a child actor. Or you said you wanted to do this. So, you know, take ownership of it. And I'm sure that's probably helped you a lot as you've navigated, you know, your way through that industry, just kind of figuring out like the right moves to make or even making the wrong moves and then bouncing back from that. What was it like when you got your first role? Just take us through that. Do you remember it? I'm sure you do.
I vaguely remember. I was 9 years old. So like I was super young and it was this movie called Envy where I played Ben Stiller's son. And Ben Stiller was in it, Jack Black was in it, Amy Poehler, Christopher Walken. It was like this really cool movie. And I didn't fully get what was happening. It was like one of my first auditions actually. And I think I like was cute and like looked enough like Ben Stiller that they gave me the role. But I remember them telling me to like sing in the audition because I think it like loosened me up and they were like, just sing a song. And I don't even remember what I sang, but I remember having to sing and sitting with the director who was Barry Levinson, who's like a huge director.
It's
really funny that that was my first job, but I just remember being nervous, but really enjoying it and feeling comfortable at the same time. And Ben Stiller was really, really nice to me. He had like invited me to like hang out with him in his trailer and like he really was sweet and welcoming. And so I just remember that being an overall really positive experience and a real cool thing for my first gig, you know?
Yeah. So after that first experience, was that in a movie, correct?
This was a movie called Envy. That's literally has like 7% of Rotten Tomatoes. It's like terrible.
Well, do you care that much about the critic reviews and Rotten Tomatoes? Do you pay attention to that stuff?
I mean, I think I'm still at the point in my career where I'm like, most things I'm just like lucky to work on. So, you know, I definitely don't want to be a part of something that stinks. And I think you can kind of tell based off reading the script and knowing who's involved with it. But you know, it definitely isn't great. Like a couple of years ago, the movie that I did called Project Almanac, that like is how I know Cameron, who's our mutual friend. You know, that like, I think the reviews were not great, and that was something I was really proud of. And like, I really felt like was my first like big movie as like an adult kind of, I mean, I was like 20 years old, but you know, as an adult, I'm just saying like, I was such a kid back then, but you know, like I really wanted that one to do well. And we had signed on for 3 movies just in case it was really successful so that, you know, we would have had a sequel and then another one. So that would have been really awesome. But I mean, overall, like, I just want to work on stuff that like makes people happy. And like, I think my job is to make people laugh and kind of forget about their troubles and hopefully like enjoy something that I'm a part of.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, and I have a deep respect for what you do, because, you know, even what I do and when we building a fashion brand or a clothing brand and all these things, you know, you work on these crazy timelines where you're like 12 or 18 months ahead. And so the product that you're going to put out, you've already put so much into. So with a movie, you're doing pre-production, production, post-production. You're very involved every day. Mm-hmm. Even before then, you're going through the scripts. You're preparing for the role. You're doing everything you can to give it your all. And then when it comes out as a finished product, someone comes along and is like, trash.
Yeah, like, I don't like it. Right. Yeah.
But you have that personal connection to it where like, even if it's not the next, you know, best picture, there's still something you gained from it. You know, you still put all that time and energy into it. You grew from it. Maybe it matured you. Maybe it taught you something along the way that will help you for that next role. So I feel like that's another really important part of what you do that gets overlooked pretty quickly. Because when you do these things, it's part of your life. You know, like the Goldbergs, you've been on it for 8 years.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
I can't even imagine how much you've grown from, you know, just being a human being from when you started to now.
Yeah, I was like, dude, I saw photos of like the first time I was on the show. I mean, I was like a different person. It's crazy. And that just flew by too, which is nuts. But yeah, I mean, you know, you definitely want to do stuff that you're proud of and you want people to like what you do. But I think it's also like, it's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, like I'm early enough in my career, I think, where I don't need to be making the best stuff right now. I can just kind of, you know, build up my resume and then hopefully when a really great role comes along, I might be more ready for it, you know? And I think same for you, you know, all you can do is kind of what you have in front of you and work hard and try to make the best product. But you can't really get caught up in what people think.
Yeah.
I do love your clothes though. I think you guys appreciate are really it. Great.
Yeah. You're a big supporter. Yeah. Do you have an idea of what that, like, if you could pick your perfect role or your perfect movie or show, like, do you have an idea of what that looks like? Is that something you work towards at all in the back of your mind?
I mean, I guess like not specifically, but like there are definitely like directors that I would love to work with, or like, you know, like studios or companies that I think are like making really cool stuff. Like I really like A24, I think is really cool. It's like a production company that makes a lot of good stuff that like I feel like people our age like to watch and I don't know, I guess just stuff that's kind of challenging and you know, I like tones that are kind of about serious subjects with like humor involved, like you know, like a lighthearted drama, something like that. I love like the Seth Rogen type of people. I like following in like a footstep of that, like Jonah Hill, like those guys are heroes of mine. I just think they're so funny and have done so much great stuff. But I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I think for me next, doing like a great movie that goes to like a film festival would be great for me, you know, to kind of be seen in a different light than what people probably know me most from, which is the Goldbergs, which is like, you know, a half hour silly comedy. Maybe to see me do something more serious would be like a goal of mine in the future. But I also really like comedy and I want to continue to do that. Like if I could do the Goldbergs for 20 more years, I would. It's just not, it doesn't have that, those kind of legs. So it's, I think as I get older and as I experience more life,
yeah,
I can kind of open myself up to new, cooler, deeper roles.
Are there projects that you say no to? Like, do you have projects that you just won't do when they come across you or your agent? And what are the criteria that you look for that would be, all right, I can't do that? Or, all right, it's interesting. Maybe we've got to, you know, take a step further and see what they're about. Or what are some of those things that you look at when, you know, judging a script or an idea?
It seems I don't get a ton of those, but I guess I did more recently. And now that I've been kind of busier with the show, I think my reps kind of know the stuff that I am looking to do in my off season. But like, I definitely had like a couple like indie film auditions that maybe had like not a ton of backing where people are like, you'd be perfect for this. And there were some that I wanted to do, but like, I don't know if the script is really good and the people behind it are cool. Like it's definitely something you can get excited about. It's not like I only want to work on stuff where I'm getting paid a lot or only stuff with like huge people attached. It's if a story is good, like I would love to do it, but there is a lot of stuff that gets made that's like not great. So yeah. I think you just kind of need to be able to identify that. Like, I think I've also done enough things now where I know what to look for. Like I did an indie film a few years ago. And then I didn't realize it was basically softcore porn. Like I was like the funny best friend to this kid who's like, yo, this like older chick wants to hook up with me. And I'm like, yo, that's awesome. I was like the classic, like Jonah Hill in Superbad role. Who's like, dude, you gotta go hook up with that MILF. So cool. And then it ended up being a Lifetime movie where like, the woman like ends up trying to kill him like after sleeping with him. It was like a whole thing. It was not my proudest moment.
You didn't see that coming? You didn't see that part of it coming?
I mean, I read the script, so like I knew what it was, but I guess I just saw it in like a
different
tone. It was a different tone, I think, when I read it, and maybe that was on me, but I also like wasn't busy at the time. And as actors, I think like, especially when you don't work for a while, like you will kind of want to just work. And so if a script comes along and you book a job, you know, it is hard to say no to it. But I just think that now that I have that experience, I would know to be like, okay, well, if I'm not getting paid a ton and the script's not that amazing, like, you know, I played the funny best friend before, like maybe I skip this one, you know? So I think it's just as you evolve, like you learn what to look for and like what you're looking to do and what you're not. But I'm not like so in demand that people are like knocking on my door like, we need Sam in this movie. And I have to be like, no, I'm not doing that.
I mean, it'll happen. It'll happen with time. Like you said, saying no and kind of just doing your thing and building that resume, you'll get to that place. Yeah. I want
to
ask,
I hope I can get to the place where I can turn down lots of movies.
Hey, you definitely will. I don't doubt it. But I want to ask more about, once you do accept a role, what is your process like? How do you prepare for the roles?
You know, depends. A lot of like just going through the script, and it's kind of like your Bible, you know, you just look through it a million times and you try to find things that maybe you didn't realize and kind of build like a full character for a person. Like if it's a film, you know, you're catching this character on this certain day in their life. So it's like, what came before that? Like, how did this person become the way that they are? And I haven't worked on a ton of stuff where I've had to do like lots of backstory work, but as I'm getting older and trying to play better roles, it's become a lot more important to me to like really try to make these people like a full person, as opposed to me just kind of relying on my natural ability and reading the script and going, oh, I can say that and make it sound believable. I think that that's kind of what separates like, you know, decent actors to really good actors, is putting so much behind just what's on the script, you know, and what's in the text, and making it seem like a full person. So you know, I have like an acting coach that I really like that I mm-hmm. haven't seen in a few years because I've mostly just been doing the Goldbergs, which is, you know, more of like comedy and not really needing to go too deep for. But, you know, if I have like a great project, then I'll talk to him about it and we kind of dissect the script together and we go through it and might spend like a couple hours per day, like just finding things that would make my performance more believable or would just deepen it and make it more of a full person.
So with the comedy roles, and you, when you say you don't have to go so deep, is that because you kind of, you think your natural personality is, you know, tends to be comedic and plays into that side of things. So when you take on those roles, you're kind of just being yourself in a way, maybe a different version of yourself, but mostly.
Yeah. I think you nailed it. I think you just nailed it. I think it's like, especially my role on the Goldbergs, it's like, he's like 21, like a 21 year old kid from Philly who is in love with a girl. I mean, it's, you know, it's a relatable thing for me and the way that they write the character. And now they've kind of written it to be in, to make it sound natural for me. And they kind of write in my voice. And so with something like that, it's, you know, it's not as much of a stretch. And I think the hardest part on a show like the Goldbergs is like learning the lines. Cause we have like full mouthfuls where we, and it's all like based on timing. Cause you know, that like a show, a sitcom is like very beat oriented. So like, it's like, you know, I have to say my line with a certain cadence and then they say theirs. Yeah. And it's like ping pong, like back and forth. And it's very specific the way that it sounds. So, but yeah, I mean, I would say with comedy, it's just, it's easier because I think I'm a lighthearted guy who likes, you know, comedy and kind of can take something and analyze it. And I think I have good like text analysis skills where like I can read the script and kind of know what the writer's going for and be able to say it in a funny way.
So like you kind of just alluded to, you have a lot of lines to remember and you have to bounce off of so many different characters. How long, I know you have the general script, right? You have the episodes, but I'm sure they make writing changes kind of last minute at times. Can you kind of take us through what that's like maybe a time where you got handed a script kind of last minute that had changes and how you kind of adapted to it and then, you know, put it into play in filming and just what that's like?
Yeah, that can be kind of tough, you know, because you do spend, you know, a good amount of time like memorizing and learning and preparing so that when you show up, you know, you can be a professional and not like winging it when you're there. But, you know, they do sometimes change it on you. And that's that kind of, you might need like an extra 20 minutes to go over your lines. And a show like ours, we have a woman there who's job is to run lines with us and make sure that we know them. So mm-hmm. on a show like ours, where it's like a well-oiled machine, they kind of know to prepare for it. And if they do switch it up on us, then they know that we might need a little more time to get it down and make it feel natural. But, you know, I think it's just the nature of the business and the nature of like a sitcom, because there is writing changes coming down from the office sometimes and not so much this past season because of COVID. It kind of felt like they knew that it was already such a tough thing that we were doing to produce 22 episodes of television. So I think they kind of like would give us the script and then like let us just be with it unless something like definitely wasn't working. But there were times years ago when we had a different showrunner where, you know, we would be about to film a scene and then we'd get a whole new script of like all these changes. And that was, was a little tough to do it on the fly, but you know, I think it becomes like kind of a skill. Like it's even memorizing lines now is like much easier for me because of a show like the Goldbergs, where you're used to having to say so many lines and in some days, maybe you're doing five scenes, you know? So being able to memorize, I think is tough for some people, but it's gotten a lot easier for me over the years.
Is there anything that you can, you know, call out for maybe people that are listening that are aspiring actors that you think you've learned? I mean, you've been acting since you were 9. So is that 19 years?
Yeah.
Are there things that you've learned a lot, not to make you sound old, you're not old.
Oh my God.
Are there things you've learned along the way that you can share with them? Maybe like shortcuts or, you know, just important nuggets of information that you've gathered?
I would say just, you know, be specific with your choices and like try to think about making choices that other people might not make and bringing yourself to a role. Like why should someone hire me over like a Nat Wolf? I'm just using him as an example.
He sounds like your rival.
He did. By the way, I know him vaguely. He's a really nice dude. So like, no, nothing against him. If he's listening, but I think we're fine. I think like just why should someone choose me? Like what is different about me and like kind of playing to my strengths and trying to bring parts of me, of Sam to any role, which will make it feel more real. And like, there's a real person behind that rather than someone just saying lines. So I would say that deepening yourself and caring about art and about movies and about TV shows and understanding the tone that maybe the writer that wrote the project is going for, and just kind of really like burying yourself under it. Yeah. And you know, to like The Rock says, like to be the hardest worker in the room. It's everyone has the same script and has, you know, about the same amount of time to prepare. So what can you do that's going to be special or that's going to make you unique? I guess like, you know, finding what makes you different is really important. But also in acting, I would say just, you know, don't give up, because it really is, you do get a lot of no's before you get told yes. Like I've probably been on thousands of auditions over the years and have booked like maybe, you know, whatever I've done on IMDb, like 30 projects or something, 40 projects, like, and that's crazy, you know, thousands and thousands over the years. It's not as redeeming, I guess.
I mean, I think those are really important points. And it's definitely one of those really tough industries where you're going to hit your head against the wall over and over again. And eventually like a door is just going to open and you got to be ready to go in it. What do you say? Cause I think we're at an interesting point, like our generation, we've seen a lot of people kind of bootstrap and do web series or, you know, write a small independent short and then it gets turned into a feature film, things like that. What is your experience, you know, being around that? Is that something that you're interested in doing, writing your own content, acting in it, producing, directing, all of that? Is that something you've given any thought to?
Yeah, and especially like during slower periods where you're not doing as much, it's definitely easier to be when you want to be creative. It's like so many people now are just making their own opportunities. And so I do think like a web series is awesome. I think that people that have a vision that want to like write, produce, act, direct in something, like I think that's really cool. And you see a ton of people that are now like becoming huge from things like that, because they had like an original idea and they did something in their own voice and it gets seen by the right person who is looking to make the next thing with someone's specific voice that speaks to them. And so I think it's awesome. For me, I've had a tough kind of time. I've tried writing various things over the years, and I think that I am developing better writing skills, but it's tough. It's hard. And I think I'm kind of a perfectionist and I don't want to make something that's mediocre. And so I don't know. It's definitely something that I want to do in my career. I want to write and I want to direct eventually. And I would love to like make my own stuff, but I think for now, like, you know, trusting people that really know what they're doing and being able to just act in things that I already think are good are, you know, is a real blessing. And the fact that I'm even able to do that, I think is my main focus. But I think if I get bored enough, I will try to write something that hopefully will be good enough that I would want to do something with it.
No, that's amazing, man. Thank you for speaking on all of that. Is there anything else like outside of acting that you're interested in pursuing? Outside of acting, entertainment, you know, directing, all that.
That's a good question.
Are you a chef, maybe?
Sometimes I don't know if that's my passion. Eating is definitely my passion. Cooking, not so much. I get really overwhelmed in the kitchen. It really stresses me out. Like, I was making pomodoro like recently, which is probably one of the easier pastas to make. It's like tomatoes.
Hey, from scratch. I don't know how to make pasta from scratch. So
I was making it from scratch. So that's kind of cool.
But that's impressive.
I was freaking out and I was like screaming for my girlfriend. I was like, Liv, I need your help. The sauce it's not cooking down enough and it's going to taste terrible. And I was freaking out. I don't know. I think I'm super into I'm definitely into, fashion. I think I'm a fan from afar. I don't know if I would ever want to work in it, but I like to pay attention to what's cool. And I have my own style. And so I'm passionate about that. I think I'm passionate about sports and I like to, play basketball. Yeah. We've done many times.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say I have to give you credit for being one of those guys that just hustles. Just plays
hard.
Dude,
I work hard, man.
Doesn't stop running.
Up for my lack of skill in my
get all the rebounds.
Effort.
The effort's 150% there. So I have to make sure that I call that out.
Yeah. But I mean I like sports and I do like food. And so that's definitely something that I've thought of. I love, I find a restaurant that I really like that maybe not a lot of people know about. And I kind of show it to my friends. And I think that that's something maybe in the future that I would want to try to do, something in the restaurant industry, maybe.
I could
whether
see that.
It be trying to open my own or, invest in one and be a part of one. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a world that I'm really involved in. And I like to, I know a couple chefs who are so talented. And I just think that that's such a cool job and such a cool world.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that for you.
Yeah.
But that's kind of everything I have for you today. I don't know if you have any questions or anything else that you want to get across on this episode.
Dude, those shorts that you guys recently dropped, the one with the triple logo?
The gradient, the triple hem gradient shorts.
Bro, so cool, by the way. I buy them and I'm wearing the maroon ones and I was wearing them all the time. Cameron Fuller comes over and he steals them from me and I still don't have them. Yeah, and he tried to make it that we were doing a trade. So he left his shorts that he had worn over to my house so that I could wash them for him, by the way. And they were shorts that I had already given him. They were Eric Emanuel shorts that I gave him out of the kindness of my heart. And then he has the audacity to steal my
other ones. So I see why you guys are no longer living together. It all makes sense.
Bro, I mean, it's that's one of many. I'm just kidding. But those are so cool. I'm curious what are you guys up to and what's next for you? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, you can totally. So we actually have a big event at the end of April. We're going to be doing, we haven't announced yet, but it's going to be a bunch of new styles that we haven't released, kind of more elevated, new cargo pants that are zip off shorts, reversible flight jackets, some new kind of style of button down shirts that pay homage to basketball in a really cool way.
Dude, that's awesome.
A bunch of new styles of triple hem shorts, crazy colorways. We're sublimating the mesh with some cherry blossom, a couple other different, cool patterns. So we're just getting really creative with it and just kind of expanding the line. We just dropped those water bottles, coasters. So really kind of working on growing the lifestyle component of the brand. And
I love that.
Getting back to playing basketball, having the run again. Just having a place for people to come interact and just spread kind of joy and happiness again from what has been.
Dude, that's awesome.
A tough year for everybody. So it's a lot. It's exciting. And I said, really, really looking forward to all of that and just being able to be outside in the world and just sharing everything that we've been working on behind closed doors for so long.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm really stoked for you guys. Also, I love that cargo pants that zip into shorts is making a comeback and that's cool now. And you guys are going to make them so cool.
We're, because we all had those growing up, and we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, we have to bring this back. We have to figure out a way to make
exactly. This but it was way. So lame. Like there was like, it was it cool was. When we were young, and then it became lame. And yeah. now like back. That the functionality is brilliant.
It's huge. When it's hot out, you just zip them up. You know, you want to wear your pants in the morning, it gets hot, you zip it off, and you just put your, it's two different fabrics. So it's a canvas and a sport nylon. So it kind of, again,
oh my God,
it's unique. It pays homage to the game and to, you know, sports fabric, sportswear fabrics. So it is not your traditional cargo pant, but again, yes, it has that element of, you know, functionality where you're like,
oh, and I'm not your traditional guy. So I need this.
They're perfect for you. They're actually called the Jake cargo pants because all I've been wearing are cargo pants. And we were like, we have to design cargo pants. I got to stop wearing other brands.
So, dude, that's so cool. What an honor to be named.
Hey,
to be the name of the pants.
I am honored, and I cannot wait to actually wear them. I don't even have them yet, so it's exciting. But
dude, that's so cool. Man. Well, it sounds great. I mean, I love everything that you guys do, and I think you guys have such a unique voice and care about basketball so much, and you guys are just really talented. I think
everything
you make is really special.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate all the kind words. And, you know, thanks again for doing this today. And good luck with setting up the rest of the house. I know it's a pain in the ass. So let me know if you need any help.
Of course, bro. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Be well. Take care.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for this.
No problem. Peace.
This podcast is presented by Bristol Studio. Sound editing by Rashad Allen. Music by James Grissom.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.